And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience, our DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day. Get ready. These are all really short titles. Ready? The first DDD, His Mission. His Mission. Next, we're going to look at peace. But the third thing we're going to look at is war. And the final thing that we're going to look at, oh my goodness, is love.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at. During the show, lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Now, don't you like the prevailing? Isn't that better than just surviving? And you certainly want to be living, because if you're not living, well, we'll just move on. Politics, entertainment, and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, Eric. Hey. We're asking you, what do you think? Call us 866-577-2473-866 K-Praise. Any topic is technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station, here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back, but stand by for SRN News.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station. AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
The research group Barna has released its list of America's most secular cities. This is truth itself. Barna is a Christian research group specializing in surveys and polls having to do with religion and faith. In order to determine America's top 10 most post-Christian cities, Barna based the research on 16 different criteria. To qualify as post-Christian, individuals had to meet 9 or more characteristics, including they identify as atheist or agnostic, have not prayed to God in the last week, disagree that the Bible is accurate, have not attended a Christian church, and are not born again. Based on these criteria, the top 10 most post-Christian cities turned out to be Portland, Maine, Boston, Massachusetts, Albany, New York, Providence, Rhode Island, Burlington, Vermont, Hartford, Connecticut, New York City, San Francisco, California, Seattle, Washington, and Buffalo, New York. Barna suggests the role of Christians in a society and their efforts at evangelism might be driving the trend. He points out that church attendance is decreasing, and the number of people who believe in God, pray regularly, and read their Bible has also dropped. Barna says, by consequence, the role of religion in public life has been slowly diminishing, and the church no longer functions with the cultural authority that it held in times past. He says these are unique days for the church in America as it learns what it means to flourish in a new post-Christian era. Well, these days, health insurance is incredibly expensive, especially if you don't have coverage through your employer. If you're concerned about the costs or the ethical dilemmas of insurance, here's great news. There's an affordable, God-honoring alternative called MediShare. Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. MediShare, affordable, biblical health care. The phone number is 844-49-BIBLE. That's 844-49-BIBLE. You can see these stories and more on our website, truthitself.com. Truth Itself, news that impacts your faith, family, and country.
NLS Bard gives patrons the freedom to read their way.
Bard is this beautiful web-based program for searching for books and for the ability to download them.
For more information, call 1-888-NLS-READ.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California, where I need to tell Tugboat Todd that the last person, you know what it is they thought?
What? I can't hear you.
Anyhow, how funny is that? Ladies and germs, boys and girls, you know people don't like that. You call people germs? Okay. Let's get a couple things straight. Number one, if you want to reach the show and complain, you can simply write to, you need to talk to Tugboat Todd. He's the only one that takes complaints at gmail.com. It is a 12-second account and will expire in less than 10 seconds. Go. Number two, if you want to reach me, you're welcome to send an email, davidspoon@kprz.com. Number three, it's light out for the replay. It's dark out for the other replay. But it's kind of light, kind of dark. Okay. And now let's get into the serious stuff. This segment brought to you by our fantastic friend, Sam Rasul, who's going to be on the show in the second hour. Now, when Sam gets on the show, he doesn't just talk about real estate. And we actually had a listener say, you know, it'd be good if you guys got together, and it's good for Sam to talk about his stuff, but also maybe talking about events or things that are taking place. And we took that to heart and thought that's a good idea. So he talks about his real estate, gets his opportunity to share, and then we talk about the events. I'm kind of interested to see his perspective. I have a suspicion. I know where it's going to go. Here we go, though. I do want you to be aware, if you're looking at anything real estate, now watch the word association, okay? So you say one thing, you think another. You say one thing, you think another, right? So it's simple. Real estate, think Sam. Real estate, think Sam. Real estate, think Sam. That should work. ThinkSam.com, 858-7801-SAM, 858-7801-SAM. And you might know somebody, and they might be interested in pursuing real estate, either buying or selling. Well, then Tugboat Todd and I say together, send them to Sam. There we go. Just send them to Sammy. That's what we're going to have to modify that. Send them to Sammy.
What do you think?
Yeah? No? All right, we'll think about it. We'll ask him. We'll do it when he's here and see what he says. We just won't tell him, see what he says. All right. The other thing I want to tell you about, great ministry, Whitefields Ministry, my good friend Steve Wheeler and Coral, his wife. Here's the deal. They take the gospel really to places I've been honest about it. They take the gospel to places I probably won't go. I mean, they have to get there by boat, and then they get on these bridges that are made of bamboo, and it's 50-50. Because Steve, I mean, I love him, but he's not, you know, he's not Mickey Mouse. I mean, it's, you know, he's big. So the idea there is that, say, you get on that little bridge, and you can be right in the water. He's brave. I think that's fantastic. But he goes there to talk about Jesus. And by the way, something I have not mentioned, Steve, when he's talking to these people, he'll have pastors come around for miles and miles and miles, and he teaches them. I mean, he teaches them, and they'll ask questions because people have come in and tried to manipulate the word and use the word to take things from people. And so Steve kind of sets it straight. You have to love a ministry that stands by the word of God. Even if you see some of those, you know, you got to see the majors in that standard. But even if you see some of the minor theologies in a bit of a different light, that's not the deal. The deal is that the truth and the core of the truth and the foundation of the truth have got to be told. And people take advantage of that for people who are unknowing or unlearned. So we like that ministry stands firm in the word of God. Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. Go to whitefields.org. Whitefields.org. That is their website. Whitefields.org out of the Gospel of John chapter 4 verse 35. Check out the NASB version. 760-846-8610. 760-846-8610. All right, let's get ready. Are you ready, Tugboat Todd? Here we go. First discussion of our first segment. We're going to be talking about his mission.
Much more firmly than you might, but
All right, so I'm a little, because that's, wasn't that Mission Impossible? This is not, this is Mission Possible. Ah, ha, ha, that's good. All right. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 21, I want to talk about Jesus' mission. I want you to understand it, because this whole hour is going to be revolved around us grasping one of the most important concepts. The mission that the Lord Jesus Christ had was to save people from the penalty and from the pain and the separation of sin. Jesus came to deal with that which we blew at the garden. And when everybody goes, well, I wasn't there, because if I was there, I wouldn't have made that choice. The bottom line is, you were there in the loins of Adam and Eve. Oh, you've got to be kidding me. You tell me that there's one person, one woman, and one man? Yeah, even DNA says that the entire human race came out of the strain of one woman and one man. So just work that out for yourself. Here is the mission, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 21. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Aha! You know that which was lost in the garden? It was lost because of sin. The mission of Jesus Christ is to save people from the sin that we've all engaged with. And in truth, get us back to that restoration of fellowship with God that was in the garden prior to sin. Again, we find out that we get to access or have fellowship with God anytime we choose. In fact, when we're not fellowshipping with God, it is mostly our choice. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 22 make it clear that we have access into the presence of God, the Holy of Holies, through the blood of Jesus Christ anytime. But Jesus has a mission. And that mission is to save his people from the penalty of sin, from the pain of sin, from the separation that that sin generates. And the issue there is our need to understand his mission and him bringing salvation to us, which we're going to dive into. But I think it's really important for you to understand, especially if you'll take the time to read through, if you look at things like 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You may be a Christian, but you might have sinned. Now, some people might argue, well, if you sin, you know, you're going to hell. Well, we're going to talk about that from judicial point of view. That's not the case. That penalty has been taken care of. But that doesn't mean that your sin won't disrupt fine fellowship with God. If you're struggling, it's certainly a completely different animal when you bring that to the Lord and seek help versus when you're purposely speaking things about people, doing things, thinking things, yes, the thoughts count, about people that are contrary to God. I love that definition of sin. While it certainly in the Greek, hamater, means to throw at a mark and to miss the mark, the better applicable definition is anything that's contrary to God. So if you've got thoughts, you've got words, you've got actions that are taking place in your life that are contrary to God, and you are not coming before the Lord seeking strength in it, and you're just relishing in that, that's a problem. And that can create a sense of separation and a distancing. We want to get away from that, and we want to embrace all the saving that Jesus has for us. You want every bit of salvation that is there for you. So a lot of people will ask the question, and they used to ask it all the time, are you saved? Are you saved? Let me give you an answer. You have been saved. You are being saved. and you will be saved. When we come back, we're going to take about 2 years of seminary and do it in about 35 minutes. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Do you happen to know what termites hate? Termites hate heat. So when it gets blistering hot outside, guess where they go? That's right, into your nice, cool house. They ought to be sending you thank you notes. However, my friend Sue Freeze, the termite lady, owner of Ecola, has a patented process called Ecola Heat that turns the tables on termites and kills them. Yes. And Sue, this is just one of your family-friendly alternative methods of killing termites?
That's right, Dave. We use mostly natural, non-toxic solutions that can be more convenient and less costly, along with traditional methods. Call us today for a free inspection so we can determine the best method of eradicating termites in your home and keep them away. First-time customers get $100 off.
Call Ecola, 877-332-BUGS, 877-332-BUGS, or termitelady.com.
Ecola, powerful termite and pest control, as gentle as a butterfly.
Not for escrows.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry. Since 1953, Whitefields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Will your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities? Visit whitefields.org or call 760- 846-8610 and donate today.
Karma. Do you believe in it? Do you believe that what goes around comes around? It's a pretty popular belief. The English rock band Radiohead brought it up in their classic song Karma Police. The singer is upset because trying to be a good person and have good karma hasn't made him happy. The lyrics say, "I've given all I can. It's not enough." It's easy to think that way, isn't it? That if we give our best effort, we deserve to get what we want. Truth is, though, our best effort often isn't good enough. And when it comes to sin, it's never good enough. The Bible says no one can work hard enough to escape the punishment we deserve. But thankfully, there's good news. Jesus Christ took our punishment upon himself. The moment you give your heart to Christ, you are forgiven. It's a free gift. Want to learn more about that? Go to findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Yeah, you want to reach the show, davidspoon@kprz.com is an effective way to go about that and to accomplish that. A couple things I want to run in your direction. Crazy Price Mall running a 60% off sale. 60. It ain't 50, it's city. See? So it's 60%. Crazy Price Mall, 60%. Go to crazyprice.com, see what you can get. I believe there's barbecue that's on sale there as well. I don't know if they have any of those left.
Does that mean you can eat 60% more of it?
For the same amount of money. There you go. That's one way to look at that. It's a great opportunity for people to take advantage of. All right, we're going to get into our What's Bugging Me? Brought to you by Ecola Termite and Pest Control. Powerful termite and pest control. Gentle as a butterfly. EcolaTermite.com. 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Gotta tell you what's bugging me. You're not gonna like it. It's my fault. You know what it is?
What's that?
I had a chance to Skype with my Edibug, my first granddaughter. See, I now have to give them numbers. And she was apparently very upset. My daughter sent me a text just before we Skyped saying, daughter is having meltdown, which, of course, I always think is fantastic because that's the revenge part, right? Like, ah. So apparently, Addiebug, cute as can be. I mean, she's a really cute baby. She was very upset because they told her that she could not, she no longer play with the books. Not that she reads the books they got her. They're just colorful, and she grabs them and kind of twirls them and whatever. So she went into a power rage. And so when we got on Skype, she was there and she's trying to get the books. And I'm like, Addiebug, Addiebug. And she looks at me and for a moment, she forgets all about the books. And then about a minute later, after I'm done singing to her, because I always sing to her the first time I see her, she goes back to the books and back to being upset. And the thing that bugged me the most about that is I think that is exactly what I do with God. Is like I'm upset about something that I don't even have the capacity to read, and then God kind of gets my attention and I'm fine, and that lasts about a minute, and then I go right back to pouting about what I couldn't read. That's what's bugging me, and what a great lesson in life that is, because she, let's be honest, I mean, she's almost a year and a half, she does not understand, but I understand. Wait. Is that like God understands, but we don't understand? Oh, maybe that's the exact same thing. All right, let's move on. We have our next area to discuss, our next review. Title of this is called Peace.
Peace out.
And I will not be the one to break the peace we've made here today.
Surely you're a man of peace.
Peace.
Jedi Knights were the guardians of peace.
Just for world peace.
Looking for my own peace of mind.
I think there's a lot of peace in that. Let's figure out what we're talking about. I want to talk about salvation. We're talking about the mission of Jesus Christ. And you need to understand something when you're reading the Bible. Some people will read the Bible and what they do is they don't take into account balance. Balance means you have to use all the scriptures. When Jesus made mention about the bread, you know, then the enemy recognized Jesus was using scripture, and then the enemy tried to use scripture against Jesus. But what was Jesus's response? It is also written, which teaches you that there has to be additional material from the Word of God before you make these comprehensive theological assessments. And so in salvation, it'd be no different. I like how I said that. It'd be no different. There are, and we've discussed it before, and being reminded about it is important, there are three different tenses to salvation. There is a past tense, a present tense, and a future tense. These are the different aspects of salvation. Right now we're going to talk about the past tense, and that's called justification. Where do you get something like it's past tense from, Dave? Thanks for asking. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it's a gift of God. It's not by works, so nobody can boast. For we are the handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. But see, that word, in that salvation, it is past tense. For it is by grace you have been saved. S-A-V-E-D. Well, what is that? What is justification? Justification means that you are saved, ready, from the penalty of sin. Sin has consequences. And unfortunately, because God is holy and is righteous, our sin creates eternal consequences because God is eternal. So in order to rectify that, the first thing that God put in place was our freedom from the penalty of sin, which is what we call justification. Now, what does that really mean? That's the place where you could say, just bear with me, those that don't agree theologically, just hang on, you'll see where I'm going. But that's where you can say, if a person is saved, a person is saved. If there's salvation and God's doing it and it's the work of God, that is the application. That is the place where you would say, done deal. That is the justification. We are saved from the penalty of sin. Everything that we have done from a penalty point of view, from the eternal separation point of view, has been dealt with at the cross. Now, if you abandon Jesus, great theological question, were you really saved in the first place? And many people would argue, no, you really weren't saved, because if you were genuinely saved, you would never abandon. But God is not the one who is kicking people out. You understand? God doesn't save you and then go, I saved you, and now it's Taco Tuesday, and now I reject you. That is not how that works. It does not mean that somebody who makes acknowledgement towards Christ cannot reject Jesus later on. I have seen that. I do believe it is an apostate type of process. I believe that's the when it talks about backsliding and so on and so forth in Ephesians, that one thing has nothing to do with the other. You're confused. People are conflicting things. Here's the bottom line. If you are genuinely saved, now wait. With the heart, you believe, and with the mouth, you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. If that's genuine, you're saved, whether your name is Jack or Jane, doesn't matter. You understand? So that's really important for you to grasp. The penalty of sin, the penalty where you will be separated from God forever, has been dealt with by God. And if you, like it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believeth in him shall never perish but have everlasting life, which requires us to continually believe. That doesn't mean you get to believe and bail. Justification, the penalty of sin, one and done. Jesus laid his life down. That blood covers you. It enables you. Yeah, that's the great past with our sin. That's what we call peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. When we come back, we'll talk about the war. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
Separation from a spouse or legal partner is difficult. Plain and simple. Child custody, visitation challenges, spousal support disagreements, and so forth can be incredibly messy if proper legal groundwork has not been set. Family law attorney Robert J. Balmer has been helping separated couples navigate the uneasy waters of divorce and legal separation for over 40 years. Robert is an experienced professional and will always talk to you straight. If you need help with any family law situation, call Robert Balmer, B-A-U-M-E-R, for a free legal consultation. He'll give you good, sound advice about your situation and what should be done. For a free consultation with Robert, call 619-497-0054. The law offices of Robert J. Balmer, a good team to have on your side. 619-497-0054. 619-497-0054.
I just went to Bob and said, you know what? You are more important in my life than God. I'm not allowing him to direct the course of my life. It revolves around you.
Dana Gresh on Focus on the Family Minute, realizing she had placed more importance on her future husband than on her present relationship with God.
And so we broke up and it stunk. It was awful. But I wrote in my journal, until I really believe Jesus is enough and God is sovereign, I'm probably not ready to be in a love relationship. Because here's the thing about love relationships on earth. They are just a momentary picture of the ultimate love relationship of Christ and his bride. And until we understand that, and Jesus is enough and God is sovereign, the earthly relationship will never be what God meant it to be.
May God your priority, not earthly relationships. More from Dana at FamilyMinute.org.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station. Here in San Diego, California, talking about the mission that Jesus Christ had, we find out from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 21, that his mission was to save us from the penalty of sin, the separation that we had with God. We are now justified through our Lord Jesus Christ, so we have peace with God, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. And then you find out our justification moves into deeper realms. It's by grace you have been saved. Justification is a past tense process. It is for the penalty of sin. It is the done deal one. That's why we called that last segment peace. Now we're going to call this segment war. You got something for war?
War. Ooh. Yeah. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
You don't know nothing about no war.
Everybody knows war. Who? Yeah.
What did you do? Modify that?
What did you? No, that was from Rush Hour.
Oh, got it. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah. All right. So you get the understanding that the past tense in regards to sin. So when people say, are you saved? You go, well, I have been. I am being and I will be. You think, well, how does that work? Well, the have been part's the justification. Now let's talk about the we are being saved part. That's always fun. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It is right here that people who are not really evangelical have a complete theological breakdown. Thinking, see, you got to work your salvation. You got to work your salvation. Wrong. Past tense is justification penalty. Present tense is sanctification, being saved from the power of sin. And that's why it's a war. Let me help you out to make it simple. God pronounces you clean through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. That's the justification. You know what sanctification is? Now he's going to make you look that way. And that means he takes his chisel and his hammer and he goes, and you go through trial after trial and you understand 2 Corinthians 3:18, how it's glory by glory and it's little by little and slowly but surely you emerge more Christ-like as you go through the process of salvation. But that's the war, folks. Don't be kind of weird about it. When we're working out that salvation between us and God and he's making us look like Jesus, there are some fine moments there. That's when you go through the lesson of patience, 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 the lesson of patience. Get it? That's what it's all about. So if justification saves us from the penalty of sin and is past tense, sanctification saves us from the power of sin and is a present tense. And it's important to understand that because sin does not own you because of justification. Because that has been paid for, now God is working that out in you to reflect what he has declared. Kind of like the painting aspect. You got to give some of these artists some credit. I mean, there's some insight into what they say. I don't know if it was Da Vinci or Michelangelo. I don't know who said this. Okay? But they said, what I do when I do a work is I just cut away everything that's not supposed to be there. And that's kind of what the Lord does. Okay, yeah, that's wrong. Get rid of that. Get rid of that. Usually, for most of us, it involves a big head. So God just kind of puts his hands there and shrinks our head. that's one of the great things. So you're understanding and you're grasping. What you're doing is you're getting years and years of seminary just wrapped into a straight out discussion. There is the favor, that's justification. We're saved from the penalty of sin. Now there is the fight, and that is sanctification, where we're saved from the power of sin. And then the last part of that is this. Because now we've talked about the past and we talked about the present, but now we got to talk about the future. See, there's three tenses: past, present, and future. Right? Okay. Was that a sound? Okay. 1 Peter 1:5. Those who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation. Now this is a whole what? We had saved. We had working out saved. Now we have coming. Saves this guy. I can't figure this out. Well, that's because that's the future tense of salvation. And that's what we call glorification. Aha! So you got justification. That's the past tense. Sanctification. That's the present tense. Glorification. That's the future tense. When you're reading a scripture and it talks about salvation in the past context, it's justification. When it talks about salvation in the present context, it's sanctification. When it talks about salvation in the future context, it's glorification. And glorification, if you're not aware, saves us from the, ready, presence of sin. So the first one, justification, saves us from the penalty of sin. The second one, sanctification, saves us from the power of sin. And the third one, the glorification, will save us from the presence of sin, because in God's presence in heaven, there won't be any. And we'll be done with that. And that's how it is, how it goes. It's the favor, justification, free from the penalty of sin. The fight, sanctification, being saved from the power of sin, and then the future, glorification, where we're saved from the presence of sin. So again, when we're reading, when you're reading, when I'm reading, and we come across these passages, instead of trying to, mix them in a way that they don't mix, kind of like the water and the oil kind of theory, you need to see them in the proper light, just so you can know. I just picked these three verses. You can do this very same teach, justification, sanctification, and glorification, in the Old Testament. All of it always focused on Christ, but you do that. We're going to talk about that in the next hour. Here's the real key there. People say, are you saved? The truth is you have been saved. But the truth is you are being saved. But the truth is you will be saved. And that's actually the most accurate theological answer. Justification sets everything in motion. Now, we're not discussing predestination. We're not discussing election or free will. It's a whole separate theological element, which actually would go before this. But what you need to know, whether you think you did it, or you think God did it, or you think you and God did it, or wherever you're coming from, justification is at the core, the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, his sacrificial life, living a perfect life and then dying unjustly because he never sinned, so he never should have died. That justification saves you from the penalty of sin. Penalty's gone. Okay? No penalty box for you. All right? The flip side of that is sanctification. I would venture to say our least favorite part is, and some people will say, no, it's our most favorite. No, it's hard to kind of reflect Jesus Christ. It's a process. But that saves you from the power of sin. And it does teach us, by the way, that sin doesn't own us. Now, it doesn't own us judicially, but what you find out in sanctification is you get to experience that sin does not own you. I know it trespasses, but it doesn't have ownership. You don't want it to be a trespasser. You don't want it to hang out in your territory. And if you let it hang out in your territory, it's going to ruin you. It's a squatter. That's the way to think of sin. Comes into the territory. If you don't kick it out, it kind of makes itself at home. Get rid of it. That's what sanctification's all about, which is why it's one of the toughest elements. The one we look forward to when we're dancing on streets of gold, right? Where you're in a city where the cement or the pavement is gold. You ever go through a neighborhood? You know what those streets are made of? Not gold. Right? So you're going to a place that is gold. I can't wait to see what kind of pizza place they have there. If that's the case, probably the best ever. Okay, well, we don't know. But we can hope. That's the bottom line. The future is glorification. No longer the present system. We'll be done with all this. Some people think, well, we'll go back to what we were supposed to do in the garden in the first place. I don't know. You don't know. We don't know. All we do understand is that there will be no form of separation and nothing to pull us away from hanging out with God forever. All right, we come back. We're going to just wrap it in a bow so you can know why there's justification, sanctification, and glorification. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back. I call
to you. I offer up. The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry. Since 1953, Whitefields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
God delights in saving his children.
Our daily bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Kirsten Holmberg. Kirsten writes, I scanned the water intently, on alert for signs of trouble. During my 6-hour shifts as a lifeguard, I watched from the side of the pool to ensure the safety of those swimming. Leaving my post or even becoming lax in my attentiveness could have grave consequences for those in the pool. If a swimmer was in danger of drowning due to injury or lack of skill, it was my responsibility to pluck them from the water and return them to safety on the pool deck. After experiencing God's aid in battle against the Philistines, David likens his rescue to being drawn out of quote-unquote deep waters. David's varied life and that of his men was in serious danger from his enemies. God buoyed David as he was drowning in disaster.
While lifeguards are paid to assure the safety of swimmers, God, on the other hand, saved David because of his delight in him. My heart leaps for joy when I realize that God doesn't watch over and protect me because he's obliged to, but because he wants to. Kirsten concludes, when we feel overcome by the troubles of life, we can rest in the knowledge that God, our lifeguard, sees our struggle, and because of his delight in us, watches over and protects us. Sometimes we need a little extra motivation to spend time in God's Word each day. And now it couldn't be easier. With Our Daily Bread, download the mobile app for your Apple or Android device at getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
After all these years, this could happen to me.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station, here in San Diego, California. It's my brother singing. You got to like that. He's a great music guy. He just finished a tour for the Chuck Colson Ministries doing prison tours. They did three prisons, I guess, and then somebody came up and wants to bring them into Tennessee to do six different prisons, which is a big, that's a big, big, big tour. And they had hundreds and hundreds of people at these gatherings. And a lot of people come forward and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. It's great. It's just a great opportunity. And listen, I've been around the block a couple times. You know when people are doing it to try and curry favor and so on and so forth. I've been through that whole process. They are very careful to let people know this decision you make is not one you can make lightly. And it's like, that's the reality. So we've been talking about that, the favor, the fight, and the future, which is the favor is justification, free from the penalty of sin. The fight is sanctification, free from the power of sin. And the future is glorification, free from the presence of sin. So it does bring us to an honest question that we are going to ask. So I think it's honest, because when you think about God taking such great lengths to kind of cover us, past, present, and future, and also understand that he always was, always is, and always will be, and then you start really making the connections because God does past, present, and future because he consistently exists in past, present, and future, which is just kind of a cool thing. You start to get overwhelmed because this is a mighty privilege that you and I have received. And so you think about 1 Peter 2:9, you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And you sit there and you go, man, I'm so blessed that I even get to say that I love you and I know you, Lord, and you're just my rock, and there's times where things are tough and I just throw. I mean, just to be able to say that means that you, in some capacity, have been touched by God. Now, what have you done to deserve that touching? Nothing. If God doesn't pick people because they look good, they act good, they're smart, they're dumb, they're rich, they're poor, nothing. God doesn't pick you because of your deodorant. God doesn't pick you because of your cologne. God doesn't pick you because you can cook. God doesn't pick you because you can't have children or because you can't have children. It's not how that works. It's nothing like that. There's one reason that God has chosen and selected us to be recipients of salvation from the justification, sanctification, and glorification point of view. It's only one. There's no other reason. You can come up with this, that, whatever, blah, 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 blah. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. You ready for the reason? All right. Here's why you're a kid of the King. 1 John 3, 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. Ta-da! Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da! You know, like at the beginning or the end of a movie? Here it is. Because like at the beginning or end of your life, it is because the Father has lavished on us his love that we should be called the children of God. And that's why. Well, it's because I can be a really good steward. Guy on the cross next to Jesus probably had at tops 30 minutes. Most people think about 5 minutes when he accepted Jesus Christ. And between then and there, done. Well, that was the old dispensation. Nah, the new dispensation was in the New Testament when Jesus said the kingdom of God is here now, not after I die. Nice try. Doesn't work. So what we understand is that God's love is the motivating factor. That love is not a cheap love. What does that mean, Dave? That means that the love that we give one another from time to time is a little suspect, a little cheap from time to time. Sometimes it's placating so that you don't have to hear any more, you know, words. Sometimes it's acquiescing because you don't want to get into a fight. I mean, there's a lot of things that take place that we kind of say, I do this because I love you. And it's like, well, I do this because you annoy me and I really don't want to hear it. You know, it's like that's what's really going on. But God's motives are pure. They're not defiled like our motives. And God is the one who originated the plan of salvation, not wanting us to be a people that were rebellious, but knowing we were going to be a people that were rebellious. He set in motion a redemptive plan. The scripture says before the foundation of the earth. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Now, what does that mean? That means that when you were in the womb, and yes, wombs count. Don't get me started on that. I'll start freaking out. When you were in the womb, God's love was being directed. And some people will say, well, it's just not true because some people come out and they're deformed, or some people come out and they're challenged, or they're socially challenged, or all these different things. That doesn't mean God doesn't love you. You don't equate one to the other. God's love is so far beyond the earning capacity or the fame capacity, the money capacity. God's love is pure, and it's real, and it's there, and it's pointed at you. You can continue to reject, or as many people do, you can continue to mock. There's only so much that the Lord will do before he rejects the people that reject him. I mean, that's just a reality of Scripture. At some point, everybody who rejected Jesus is rejected. That's just how it works. So we don't reject. We accept, and we know that it's all done because God loves us, because he wants to spend eternity with us. Here's the funniest part. He doesn't just love you, he likes you. Would you spend eternity with somebody you didn't like? I wouldn't. But God is love, and that's why his salvation is directed at you from the sanctification, or the justification, the sanctification, and the glorification process. And fortunate and blessed are we indeed, because he loves us. Okay? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break. Then you'll hear Marty. Then we'll be back for more. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Here's the Word on Wealth, a retirement update from five-star wealth manager, certified financial planner Marty Schneider, the retirement professor.
Greetings, friends, and welcome to this edition of the Word on Wealth. Marty Schneider here, live and local. You know, for those individuals that are getting closer and closer to retirement, and for those that have just begun retirement, they face the challenge of planning their income and cash flows for their new retired lifestyle. And it's really important, I think, that before you start tapping accounts and IRAs and brokerage accounts, that you really create a cash flow plan.